This is February the 21st at Fairbanks, Alaska, and this is Harry Hughes recording for Igloo 4, Pioneers of Alaska. And I have here visiting me today an old pioneer friend of mine, Nick White. He spent a good many years in the interior of Alaska here and on the Alaska Railroad. In our conversations recently, he gave me quite a history of the Alaska Railroad. I'm going to ask Nick if he'll reminisce a little about the early Alaska Railroad. Now, Nick White, first you give me your full name.
Nicholas Lee White.
How do you spell it now? How do you spell your name, Nick?
Nicholas.
N-I-C-H-O-L-A-S. Nicholas.
Yeah.
And your middle name?
Just V, letter, you know.
V?
Yeah.
And your last name, W-H-I-T-E?
Yeah, W-H-I-T-E.
Now, where were you born, Nick?
In Yugoslavia.
You was born, do you remember the name of the town?
Yes.
What was the name of the town, Nick?
Mazin.
Mazin?
M-A-Z-I-N.
M-A-Z-I-N, Mazin.
Yeah.
And what was your father and mother's name? Do you remember?
My father's name was Raymond and my mother's name was Helen.
Raymond is your father's name and Helen,
yeah,
your mother's name. Did you have any brothers or sisters?
Yeah, the other one, Dan, but he's dead.
One brother by the name of Dan, he passed away.
Yeah.
And you've been, how long in Alaska? When did you come to Alaska?
First time I come 1907.
1907, and where did you land?
In Valdez.
In Valdez. And what did you find in Valdez when you landed there?
Oh, I find there lots of people, lots of dental, you know. I saw those days, you see more people in Valdez than any other town in the coast.
That was a live town then?
Yeah.
Well, what did you work at when you were there?
Well, I'm telling you, I didn't work very much there, you know. I just was a couple of months around Valdez, you see. Then I went to Cordova.
Over to Cordova?
Yeah.
Did you remember any of the early day people's names around there that are still alive today?
I couldn't tell you no name now.
Oh, you don't remember those. And then you come out, after that, what year was that you come into the interior?
Then I went outside, then yeah. Come back in 1910 in Cordova.
1910 to Cordova?
Yeah.
And what did you work at in Cordova?
I never worked there at all, you see, I used to be prospecting there.
Oh, you was prospecting?
Yeah.
All right, you're making a good point. Then I find out how you lived when you come in the country. And how long did you stay around the Cordova area?
One season.
One season? Then you went where from there?
Went to Seattle.
You went back to Seattle again?
Yeah.
And then when did you come in the next time?
1916.
1916?
Yeah.
And you come to work on the Alaska Railroad then?
Yeah.
Where did you land? Seward?
Yeah.
1916 at Seward?
Yeah.
The reason I ask you this about the Alaska Railroad, many of the old timers that I knew when I first come in the country have passed away, and your mind has been so sharp and you've remembered many of them that I had forgotten.
Yeah.
So you told me about that you knew the names of quite a lot of the old employees of the Alaska Railroad, and you start in and tell it in your own way now. When you started in at Seward and what you worked at and who you met, and give the names if you can.
Well, I tell you one thing, you see, I never stayed in Seward very long. I went directly to Anchorage.
Directly to Anchorage. Was that the headquarters of the railroad then?
Yeah.
Anchorage was the headquarters in 1916.
Yeah.
Well, you remember Albert Trana then? The old fellow got his arms cut off?
I remember Sam Estes and those...
Sam Estes?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Quite a few other men those days, you know, but absolutely I never see none of them now.
No, they've all passed on.
Yeah.
You see, I worked on the railroad in later years, and there's only two or three alive working on the railroad now, those years. They're all gone. They're all retired or passed away.
Yeah.
We used to have some good times on the railroad, though.
No, I was working there, you know, in for wages for a while. You see, the next year, you see, I went to contract work for railroad.
Oh, you was contract. What did you do, cut ties?
No, the construction.
Construction. Contract construction.
Yeah.
Well, wasn't that when they were building on this end, starting towards Nenana?
Yeah. They start toward Nenana, you see, and work on that branch, you see, from Matanuska to Chicago.
Oh, the Chicago and Matanuska branch, yes. That's about 15, 18 miles there,
yeah,
on the side. That was a steep hill you worked on there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Did any of the cars used to break away and get down the hill when you worked there?
What?
Any of the cars break loose and go down the hill while you worked there?
By gosh, I couldn't remember.
There was some who went down the hill when I was there.
Yeah.
See, I worked at Esca Mine when the government rebuilt that washing plant and that dormitory. And we had a train break
you
loose.
You mean at Sutton there?
No, above Sutton.
I worked there at Sutton on that power.
Oh, that section, huh?
No, on that house there.
You know. Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Yeah? I've seen it there all these years. One time while I was there, there was a train load of coal broke loose and it dumped 7 cars and tore up the tracks, and we had to go up there and fix it.
What part?
Above Sutton, up the hill there, before you start up to Joseph.
Between Sutton and Chicago.
That's right. Between Chicago and Sutton.
By gosh, maybe I couldn't tell you.
Mm-hmm.
Because that time, you see, what year it was?
Oh, that was back in the 29 or 30, around in there, around the 30s.
Oh, then I was in the coast, you know.
Then you was over on the coast by that time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then in 29, I went over to Nooshigak, Nagnik, and Billingham, Snag Point, and White Cannery, and down to Nacnik, you see.
You say 1929, you see? That time, you see, I was down there at Mile 52 between Surin and this.
Down towards Bird Creek?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All the sheep around there when you was there?
It was lots of them.
Yeah, I seen thousands of sheep down there.
Lots of them those days.
Goat? You see the goat too? On one side
yes,
of the goat?
Yes, yes. You see in those hills there, left side from the sunrise and up, you can see the sheep and goat all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But then you come to near the shore, you know, there you can see 50, 60 in a bunch.
Yeah, but big bunches.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They never even scared of me.
No, they didn't weren't afraid in those years.
Yeah.
But everybody.
But if you go down there to Indian or Girlwood and go and do these pigs there, you know, they're watching you pull close. You couldn't come close.
Mm-hmm.
They run away, you know.
Indian and Girlwood section.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They are fully scared there, you know. You got to be fully skilled to come close, you see, to shoot them there.
Do you remember John Markowitz, a prospector that was down there for many years?
No, you mean Pete Markowitz?
Markowitz? He lived for a while at Tunnel and at Grandview, and then he had a...
What year?
Oh, he was in there from 1910 on. He's still alive. He lives at Indian right now. He's 93 years old.
I don't know him.
He was a friend I visit with all the time.
I don't know him.
Well,
I know Pete Copper is there. He used to be sooner as he knew those days.
Yeah, that's another. I remember them.
Yeah.
And old man Strong. There was an old fellow we called, I forget his first name, Strong. He had a big mountain there just near Indian, and he had tunnels all dug all over it. Do you remember him?
No.
He lived in there from about 1915.
No.
He died here about 3 years ago. Strong. His name was Strong.
I know the fellow by name Tom Sabul and his brother Matt. You know, they had some prospect there and hope, you know, and got some cabins there and everything, you know, so far as you know them, you know, and Summer Smith, you see, he started, he used to be mining engineer at Chicago, and, you know, he started to open up some mine there in a hope, you know. I don't know how he come out with that neither.
Well, did you ever make any money mining down there?
No.
No?
I tried prospecting, you see, but I was so unlucky, you see, I never strike anything.
Mm-hmm.
You?
And then, when did you come north on the Alaska Railroad to the Fairbanks area?
1930.
You come up in this area.
I ran come here in 1930, you see, then I ran to Anchorage for a short time, you see, then I come back here again, then I stay here since then all the time.
Mm-hmm. Well, can you start now and name all the people along the section like you did one day for me down here? Start in right at Seward and name all the people that you remember.
Well, I tell you, all the people I remember. You mean working on the railroad or in the city?
Railroad.
Well, I tell you, when I was down there, you know, Frank Leslie, he was a foreman in the yard in Seward.
Mm-hmm.
And George Colley was a roadmaster.
Mm-hmm.
Louis Lee, he was a section foreman there at Mile 7. Fellow by name Johnson, he was foreman at Moose Place. And Barney Egan, he was a foreman at Grandview. And same Radish, he was a foreman, the May 52, he was Efraim's foreman there.
Mm.
Below there, you know what, Moran, there was a Sam McNeese.
Yeah.
Then below him was Joe O'Brien.
Joe O'Brien, yeah, I remember him.
Then was the other fella there, you know, by name, Nelson. Then at Powder Creek, there was a man, section former by name Johnson. Then between Powder Creek and Ancus was Jack Holman.
Jack Holman, yeah.
Then in the yard there was McCutcheon, you know.
McCutcheon, yeah.
Yeah, you know him well.
Mm-hmm.
He was senator after that.
Mm-hmm. I know Senator McCutcheon.
Then, you know, between Ancus and Fairbank, there was a different side.
Different crew.
Yeah, different crew, you know, changed all the time. You know.
Mm-hmm. But do you remember when they was building the tunnels up there in the canyon by McKinley Park?
Well, I remember that, you see.
You didn't work on any of those?
No, no. I never worked for us in Curry, you see. 1918, I worked under the Curry.
In Curry?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's the last time I worked for Dallas Carrado. Then, 1922, I was a guard at Dallas Carrado there, you see, the Extra Gang, number 3.
Mm-hmm.
Between Talkeetna and Ely.
Mm-hmm. Well, when you used to go to town from the railroads, what happened? What did you fellows do for recreation?
Well, I tell you, there was lots of places that time in Anchorage, you see, it wasn't so crowded, you know. And they got lots of cigar store and pool halls, you know, and playing pengengi and so forth, you see, lots of room that time, you see. So when we was without the work, you see, was quite a few places there. So we go from place to place.
Play cards, and you went in the bars and visited?
No, I just had a soft drink there, you know.
Yeah.
Us, you know, playing.
Do you remember who owned some of those places of business those years?
Well, I tell you, they change pretty often, you know.
I used to go visit old man Schoen and Kozlowski and all those. I used to go visit.
What do you mean?
In Anchorage.
Oh, there was in Anchorage, you know, the Andy Schoen, he was postmaster, you know. He passed away. His son is used to be a doctor, medical doctor, he passed away, you know, Harold.
Mm.
And Kozlowski was that time, you see, had a store there, you know, and Kennedy Brothers.
Kennedy's, yeah, I remember them.
Yeah, they got the store there, you know, and Ike Bayless, you know, he got a floating store.
Ike
there.
Bayless?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember him.
And Joe Reno, you see, got a grocery there, and quite a few men, you see, in the business beside that.
Mm-hmm. You don't have to wear glasses, do you?
Yes, I do wear glasses.
You do to read?
Yeah.
Well, if you look at these pictures, would you have to have glasses on? Now, these are all in Valdez. These are Cal Townsend's pictures. And they were taken from 1903 to 1919. See this 1903 calendar here. October 1903, see it? Or March 1903. This is a collection was given to me when the old man died. This is Cal Townsend right here, when the power plant down there at the mine. You wouldn't recognize any of those, huh?
Well, I tell you, man. Those days, you know, I tell you one thing, Harry, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Those days, you know, we never paid attention, you see, to the buildings and so forth.
It wasn't interesting.
Well, was interest
well, neither was I. That's the trouble.
I tell you one thing. We used to was too fast those days, you know.
Traveling fast.
Traveling fast.
Mm-hmm. Well, did you go on some stampedes?
No.
Never went on a stampede?
No. No, I never been. I was prospecting there around open sunrise, you know, and close Nelchina.
Nelchina?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was trapping there one winter, you see, below Nelchina there, you know, along Matanuska River. Between Chicago Creek, you see, in the Dark Glacier and Above Glacier there, you know, up to Nelchina.
Well, now, what early day roadhouses do you remember there, or incidents that happened?
There wasn't a roadhouse there.
None
that
there
time
at all,
no,
huh?
No, not at all.
But do you remember the roadhouse by Anchorage there in it was started around 1915 or 16, that Jimmy Vail and his wife run for several years at Lakeshore?
No, I don't know that.
See, I used to go hiking. Frank Young went down all through there before they was there. See?
No. The only time one roadhouse was that time, you see, Mrs. Cortland, Ed at Alkitna, you know, that I know. And some kind of a roadhouse was there in a hope, you see, but I don't know, the people that was
remember.
There just a one day, you know.
Mm-hmm. Just go visit.
I don't know even their name.
Well, when you was up in the McKinley Park area, do you remember Andy Marino and all those fellows lived around
no,
there?
No, you mean Morris Marino.
Morris Marino?
Yes, I know him there.
Mm-hmm. And you knew Andrew Dragish?
Why, sure, he was in Ely there for a long time.
Bichet and Dalton?
No, I know Jack,
Quigley?
No, I used to be Neely, you know.
Jack Hoff?
No, they never had a hotel there.
Oh, Warner? Singleton? Jack Singleton?
Singleton, yeah.
Jack Singleton, yeah.
Yeah.
He was still there, I remember seeing him.
Yeah, I know him there.
Mm-hmm. Well, those people are all gone, Nick. Yeah, everything has changed that way.
Yeah. I know quite a few people there those days, you know, but even I don't know their name.
Mm-hmm.
I'll meet them once a while, you know, I talk with them, you see, but we don't know a name each other, you know.
Did you ever get married, Nick?
Not me, so far.
No, you've been single all your life?
Yes, I do.
Well, we have to joke about those things, you know. There's a lot of fellas come into Alaska and they never did get married, they lived single, you see. Many of them.
Well, I tell you one time, you see, I never stayed in town very much those days.
You kept away from them so they couldn't trap you.
Yeah, I tell you one thing, I was out of town, mostly time, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I spent quite a bit of time in city, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those days, you know, you was pretty hard to get a job once a while, you know. There was a wasn't my job those days, you know.
But what was the pay in those days when you did work?
Well, I tell you, they don't pay much, you know. You know the wages those days in Alaska Railroad, you know. At first they start with $3 a day, you know.
Mm-hmm. 30 cents an hour.
Well, and the rest to 3.5, you see, then at least you see $4 a day, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And in Letos, in the mine, you see, if you was miner, they pay you $3 a day, and if you was a mucker, they pay you $1.06.
$1.06 a day for a mucker?
$2.06, I say.
$2.06.
Yeah.
Yeah, for a mucker.
Yeah. In Connecticut, you know, they was really higher, you know, but wasn't good pages neither there. There was no union, was no nothing those days, you know. Pay you whatever they want.
Well, did you ever have a dog team?
No.
No dogs?
No.
You never trapped?
Sure, I did. I told you I did.
Yeah,
trapped.
You trapped.
Yeah.
Well, what was your principal trapping area?
I was Chicago and along Matanuska River, you see, way up to above that glacier, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's all.
What did you catch?
Oh, sometimes it's, you know, few minks and few lynx and few wolverine and some fox too.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever kill any wolves or cows or bodies?
Never killed a wolf. They were by like trapping, but I killed few bear, you know, brown bear.
Mm-hmm. See, they had more wolves here in the interior than they did over there.
Yeah. I never saw even a wolf those days down there.
Mm.
But I see lots of bear, you know.
Well, there's lots of bear down there.
Yeah.
How? What was the most bear you've seen in one place at one time?
What?
Bear.
No, I never see much in bunch, you see, but I see one at a time, you know.
In 1938, I seen 13 bear in one patch of berries.
What kind of a bear they were?
Brown bear, down there below Anchorage.
Oh, sure.
Down by the tunnels, this side of the tunnels.
Yeah, yeah, on the left side.
Mm-hmm. You see, I worked on the bridge gang on the pile driver.
Yeah.
And every day we'd see them.
You work with Alaska Arrival at that time?
Mm-hmm. On the pile driver.
Who was the foreman there?
Jimmy Vale, one of them, and McGuire, that's down in Sitka. He was pile driver Harriman. And Johnny Blattman was foreman once. And Sid Sheldon.
Oh, Sid Sheldon.
He was foreman.
He used to be in Nana.
Yeah, but he was down on the railroad too.
Oh, yes.
Worked on the whole line.
I know Sid Sheldon all right.
Mm. We used to have to go all over the line. They get an order in the morning to move and you had to move.
Yeah, you move from place to place.
Mm-hmm.
I know that.
Well, do you know any good stories now?
What?
Do you know any good stories of something that happened?
But still, I couldn't tell you much. Because I forget lots of things.
Well, we all forget, Nick.
Yeah. I forget lots of things, you know, because I would remember better now, you see, than those days, you know. I'll tell you why, you know. Those days, you know, we go there from place to place and work, you know, and never pay attention to nothing, you see. To be interested to see what the future will tell somebody or so forth.
And we never thought about it.
Never thought about it.
Well, you remember Joe Quigley in the when he come over from the Cantishna?
Well, I know him well, you know. Mm-hmm. I know him well, you know, when he had a horse mine over there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I guess old lady, she was there after he left too.
Yeah, she was there about 3 or 4 years before she died here in the hospital.
Yeah. Well, I couldn't tell you much in Cantishna, you know, about just as I heard, but I was working on the McKinley Park Road, you know.
Oh, you worked on the McKinley Park Road?
Yeah.
And then, Jack Hohoff, there was 4 or 5 Russians worked on that road, too, at the same time.
You know, John Romanov worked when
Romanov,
I...
Romanov, yeah, John.
John Romanov worked, but I never see Jack Hohoff there, you know.
Well, he used to stay down at the cabin just outside
the
park.
Yes, I know, there towards the river, you know.
Yeah.
He had a cabin there, he was hunting there.
Mm-hmm. They used to go get the sheep meat, and the superintendent of the park would come down and take it away from him and eat it himself, take it up the house.
Yeah.
I remember all that.
Him and John Romanov, I guess, they spent a couple of winter down there, you know.
Oh, he was more than that, he was several winters.
Yeah, I don't know how many really, you know, but so far I know, you see, I know him there. There was there, you see, for a couple of winters, anyhow.
No, I walked into the Cantishna and followed that cat crew when they went to Bill Taylor's place. Do you remember Bill Taylor? The old man that climbed Mount McKinley with the first bunch, Bill Taylor, William Taylor?
What have you been doing?
He was mining over there.
No, I don't know him.
You don't? Well, do you remember Dunkel?
Why, sure.
Down in Colorado?
Well, no, Dunkel, when he had that lucky shot there in Willow Creek.
Yeah, Willow Creek.
I know Dunkel very well.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of some others. Do you remember when the Kozlowskis first branched out, they had a store in Anchorage? Do you remember the old man?
I know old man there early days.
He would get mad if you didn't come visit with him.
I know old man, he buy fur those days, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I know Mrs. Kozlowski, you know, all his boys, you know.
Mm.
He had 3 boys, you see.
Mm-hmm.
I know all 3 well. Well, I know old man Kozlowski told me story when he come from Kansas City and everything, you know.
Can you remember the story?
No.
No?
But he tell me, you see, I guess he come from Poland.
Yeah.
Then first time he I guess he settled around Kansas there. Texas, I couldn't tell you now exactly, you see, but it was a long time ago, you know, years ago, I tell you. Then he moved to Fairbanks,
Anchorage. Because I used to get off of the railroad there sometimes when we'd be tied up down the yard, and I'd go downtown. And he'd take me in the back of the store and talk to me for hours.
Yeah. Well, I tell you the story one time, you know. He had a pretty good bench, you know. Working bench, you know. He told me, I got a good pair of pants for you, he says. I'm going to give it cheap to you, he says, for $1. I look at that bench all, you know. And went to the other store. Cost $5 and a half, any place.
Yeah.
Same brand, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I come back to see and about that bench, you know. What. Even dollar, I said, you don't make much profit in me. Well, he says, I make a 50 cents. I bought about that, he says, for 50 cents.
He did. Well, that means the other store was robbing him, huh?
No, I don't know where he buy it and how he buy it, but he told me that.
Well, you didn't know Johnny Swagler when he used to come in here years ago, the trader? Trapper?
Oh, you mean...
Fur buyer?
Oh, well, no, Swagger, you see, I know him there, you know, he come here. I guess he was here last year. So.
Yeah, last year, he was 94.
I know, he come from Vienna, Austria.
Mm-hmm.
I know him and his wife, both of them.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
He mostly spend in Seattle, you see, and from Seattle, come over here in Alaska.
He come every year?
Every year, you know, he work for some fur company there.
That's right.
Yeah.
Sometimes he headquarters in Tacoma.
Yeah.
See, when he first started to come up here.
He's pretty old man now.
Mm-hmm. 94. Mm-hmm. And then you remember about Bob Bloom around here too, don't you?
Bob Bloom?
Mm-hmm.
Well, sure, Bob Bloom was our businessman in Fermo for a long time.
Well, you want to hear what you said on here now? I'm going to let you hear this now.
Well, all right. You're going to finish that now.
Okay. You want to finish it?
Yeah, if you finish it.
All right. Now, Nick White says he's tired, so we're going to shut it off now.
All right.
And I'll let Nick
tell
you back.
Something more next time, you know, when
okay,
I prepare,
Nick.
You know.
Now, I'm going to transfer the interview I had with Van Baver on July the 5th, 1963, at Pelly River, at the Pelly River Indian Camp, on my way back to Alaska from Washington, D.C. I've come over here as a little Indian boy brought me down from the store to Van Diver's cabin, and I've been visiting for the last couple of hours pretty nearly with old Van in the cabin here, and he's been telling me more stories. And I mentioned, would he like to say a few words to Frank Young and some of the other old pioneers over there? So we'll let Van tell his greeting.
Well, hello, Frank.
And Dolly.
Uh-huh.
And Dolly, his wife.
Mrs. Young.
And all the kids.
And all the family.
Mm-hmm.
Good, I guess. How's everything your way?
That's me coming over to you.
You're coming up to see me 17th, are you? Well, I'll be looking for you now.
Tell him you just had your whole family here.
Huh? I wish I had the whole family here to visit. There ain't many dozen people left now. They're all pretty well cleaned out. I don't remember now.
Well, go ahead.
I think that's what it is. No. The fellas at that killing there that had to keep their mouth shut.
You mean at Skagway?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there was five or six of us there. Young fellas got together. Anyway, it's the first time you've heard of old Whiskey Sullivan. You see, my brother, you remember. Old Whiskey Sullivan bought the whiskey in here and run the steamboats. Well, he come into to the saloon there. It wasn't Sophie's place. And he come up and he says, nudged me, and I never spoke to the man. Always a big, burly son of a gun. He says, who's that fella down there? He says, stopping that dog tent with, he says. And I said, that's my brother. He says, I wonder if I could hire that man. I said, now you're talking. I said, I'm sure. I said, he's got no outfit. And he's just about dead broke, I said, in the skin. And so I wouldn't mind having a job. And so somebody wink gave me the wink that he was taking in the liquor, you see, but I know nothing about that. But anyway, he hired it. Well, we helped back that liquor over the pass, but coming over when it was getting ready, and when we started over the pass, you know, the first outfit, these young fellas, and I was one of them, got together like young fellas will, you know. And the town was started out with our backs together. And so Tommy O'Hara was ahead. And he comes to this fella, and his only gamester in the white pass, you see. The only man I saw on there was having games like they did on the Silk Road. And so, anyway, Tommy got ahead, and he come up and he says, he got to play on this fella. And so, anyway, some fella come along, and he says, Tommy, get away from that. That game's crooked, he says. Don't play that man, he says. This fella reached into the into the box there that he had and pulled a great hog leg out, showing right up there. He said, no man can call my game cookie, he said, and live. This fellow walked up there. He says, I call your game crooked, he says. I call you a crook, he says. Your game is crooked, he says. The fellow turned just as white as snow. Now he says, I'll tell you what you do. He says, you don't let me catch you here in 3 days, I'm coming back. Don't let me catch you here, he says. Don't let me catch you down in Skagway. You're not safe there when I'm in Skagway, he says. Of course, it'll kill you, he says. You'd better be on the move, he says. And so I never found out what that fella done. But this same fella, he never get to the courtroom. He's back in where he come from. They didn't flinch him. I was Billy the Mug. You heard of, did you hear Billy the Mug? That was the time that Klondike was running, was open, you see. Billy and Mug had a saloon in Seattle. And his place was something a little like Sophie Smith, you know. It wasn't run exactly.
Oh, that was down Yesler Way.
Huh?
Down on Yesler. That's down on Yesler Way. The town was called Yesler.
Yeah. Well, anyway, this fella come in and put his hand on my shoulder, and I looked up. I said, what's your name? John Cross. He said, oh, John Cross. He said, well, now, I said, it better be something else. We haven't been using us for some time, I said. And I said, keep away from me yet. I said, I know you knew that I was there when you done that shooting. Had nothing to do with it, I said. But I said, they're after me too, just the same. If they take me back there, there's a chance there that I'll get in trouble. You see, he killed this woman and shot her. And so, anyway, John. But I looked for that fella on the white pass. I looked for him to kill that fella there, that gambler, you know. Because he'd kill in a wink, you know. And, one of them regular old mountaineers, you know. But then There's different things John Cross was around there when Soapy Smith was killed, you see. A different thing. So John Cross went to the lower river. And they never got him anywhere. This shepherd, John Cross, was right of what he'd done. John Cross was a nice man. This shepherd is tricked. He'd killed a couple of men before. He killed six men. He'd live anywhere. That's what he was. He was at this big reunion, soldier reunion. And anyway, he was he killed this fellow's brother, this John Cross's brother that was in here. And so anyway, it wasn't a fair fight, he said. They took advantage. And there's one woman some way in that. It was how he come to get by with it. And so when they started shooting, the woman jumped away, so it was claimed. I didn't see it. I wasn't right by when it was done. And so anyway, me and Arthur Summers, he was from West Virginia, same as I was, a relation of mine, and we were running with this fella. And Summers, he was running on the lumber train there with this fella. And of course, went with him, he had to stay with him, you know. And when the shooting was over, and so fellas come up to this fella and ordered him out of town. Get out, get on the run. No, sir, he says, I'm not running one damn foot, he says. He says, my feet wasn't built to run on, he said, I'm not running. Look here, there's 15 revenuers down there in the town. And whenever they hear this, you know what'll happen. I don't give a damn what happens. I can't afford to run, he said. Well, never did run and never would, he said. And so anyway, we, Arthur Summers, come up and tried to get him to run. The old three wouldn't move. And here this silly old man is getting gray, and he had a chin beard shirt, and he come up and called him by name. And of course, John Cross wasn't the name, wasn't the fellow called him by name. He says, you get out of here. He says, I'm not going. The old man says, you are gone. I'm telling you, I'm running this place and you're a gone, he says. Now, you can just dwell easy on that, he says. He says, there's going to be a lot of men killed here today. He says, brother will be running thick, he says, when them revenuers comes up here and finds out what happened. And so anyway, somebody will come from him. He says, mind what the old man says. He has some sense. So he left then. But I'd like to know who that old man was and what he amounted to now. You don't know, sir. But he just looked fierce at him, you know. Chancellor is a long, old time revenue, you know. Yes, sir. Well, John Cross, he lived in Alaska. Not your life, I guess. Fellow lived down. Oh, lots of murderers, killers in here, you know, that lived their natural life.
As long as they behave themselves.
Hmm?
As long as they behave themselves.
Oh, yes, yeah. This, what's his name now? He worked 6 miles above the farm down here. He was Ricardo Nagel. And he made some money, and he went outside, and he found his wife in the bed with another man. He killed his wife, and that fellow in the back came here. The last I heard of him, he went to the lower river, and just living in that. Webster, that's
Webster's name?
Yeah. Awful nice fellow. And he said, on a murder case here of Indians. This Indians, they went in and told about the murder, and the old mission, there's no law here, the old mission was a law, he was a judge, and of course, he would try a case and then refer it to the, if they were convicted, why, then he'd notify the police, you see, or notify the officers, the way that was managed, and Webster, him and this old mission, they tried a murder case there, and But then he come clear and everything's right. He'll murder himself, you know. Kind of funny, no? The way it works.
You
can't oh, Sergeant, I can never think. Get the bottle. Go on. Look when you
Short is watching that raft being built across the river here. This is the Pelly River, and I'm sitting in Van Bibber's house looking out the window here at this beautiful river. And Shorty is Van Bibber's wife.
Whiskey, Shorty. That's what we used to call her. She used to like liquor, you know. Oh, when you're the way I thought about it, we'd have a bottle on. I get talking, I forget everything.
Well, I don't care much about the drinking anyhow.
Well, when you're thirsty, I like beer, you see.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
Drink a beer, but I never drink to get drunk anymore, you know. No.
Well, you've had a lot of fun in your life, and you sure got a big family.
Look!
How many kids are yours now? How many have you got?
Huh?
Can you name the your youngsters? Can you name the youngsters?
The
children.
Young ones. Grandchildren, I don't know whether they're good or not.
How many you got?
Well, no, I'd have to count that.
Too many to count, huh?
There's around about 35 or 6, something like that, you know. And, well, I tell you, we can get to have a drink then you can make it in a minute. Get your book, get your pencil. I had to go back to move them all in our beddings back to Mayo. And that's too much. I could take 700 pounds, but it's running about 1,200 pounds when I figured it out. And I said to Jim McNeil, I said, there's two Indians that haven't got a job, I said. I said, put them on. Can't do it, he says. Why not? Not allowed to, he says. Oh, it made me sore, you know. I said, now you're allowed to, I said, right now. I said, your damn stuff can lay right here and rot as far as I can. And I'm not going to touch a bit of a pound of it, he says. And he put the Indians on and moved to Mayo on 5 feet. Nothing to it, you see. My darned law, you see, that cuts no figure. When the law is wrong way, right, it's the way to do the people right. It's the way to do that. No, sir, natives couldn't get a job work or in public works at all, not a bit of it.
Well, I hired them all during the war.
Yeah. Oh, don't wait, do you?
I got the government law to go by.
Yeah.
See?
Yeah.
I didn't make the rules. They were handed to me.
Yeah.
Well, now, Van Bibber just told me he's got one son, Pat, with 4 children, and one son, George, with 5 children, and J.J. with 4 children. Lita with 2, and Alisa with 2, Alex with 2, Lucy with 4, and May with 6, and Richard with 2, and Jay Brown with 2. That
now, you made a mistake, you see. Lucy's got, or no, what am I? May has 2 grandchildren. You didn't mention them.
Well, yeah, 4 and 2 is 6.
Oh, that's the way, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, that leaves 5 and 4 is 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, and 6 is 28, 30. That's 32. Is that about it? 32 children and great-grandchildren.
Yeah. That must be it.
You just got a small family.
Here's your girl. He's got mine. He's got one.
old Burnett in Mayo, he been to the outside, and he's talking about his trip. Mm-hmm. And he says, I was go down there with my friend there in the car, and we stop at this fellow's place, See, while he was talking to the fellow there, well, I knew the kid there was running around. And so I said to him, when he started on, that fellow sure has lots of kids there. And Oh, no, he's got no kid. Yes, but I see lots of kid there. No, he's only got 18. I show you a bunch of kids, he said. Went on down the stop. 23 children, he said, in that family down there. Them Canadian friends, you know.
23 children.
Yes, sir. He's telling me about that, you know. Yes, sir. 23 children.
Well, I'm going to shut that.
No, there's something I want to tell you. You won't believe it. We were 18 months on the Nahanna South Side, and we traveled over a lot of that country, in that Headless Valley country, you know. And no man never was as happy as I was at my leisure. Nobody could tell me anything. No, sir. And you'd think you'd probably get lazy. No, sir. My attention was drawn to prospecting and thinking, going hunting, you know. No, sir. My time was occupied, you know. But happy, so contented, my God, man. There we had, and we were 8 months on, we had tobacco and tea and cattages as our Boston cup. Now you can figure what kind of eating that was now. 8 months of that time was in there, you know. And I was so happy, you know. And oh, plenty of moves, plenty of game, you know. You wouldn't think a fellow would surely have something sometime, but no, sir, I was perfectly contented. Her and I now, and I guess she was as well contented as I was, too, you know. But when I went away, and I was long gone, 8 or 10 days, I don't know, paid no attention. She said it was a lifetime. And I got under three big trees hanging over the water and raining. And you couldn't get me out of that. And I was catching fish in the river there and eating fish. That's what I was living on, and you know. And perfectly dry under the tree there. Last several days under there, you know. And then I started out and I noticed this hummock like that. And I went out on that. I looked down in the swamp there, and so there was two moose feeding around. When I started dapping, it took the wind, and I thought I had the wind good, but I don't know. And moose got out and got over, and they got into a deep porch out of a slough, and so I tracked them to the edge of that, and it went down in there, and I come along to the slough, and I come right over this moose, right on its back there. Raining hard, pouring the rain down, and snap, and throwed every shell out of the gun. Oh, no fire. And that moose went out on the bar there, and it run up and down the bar calling. Oh, you know, the call just like grizzly bear, pretty much, you know. And anyway, I went out there. I greased my gun. I know what was the matter. I greased my gun with porcupine, greasing out of gum, you see. And then the cool weather and rain like that of the gum, and it wouldn't bust the cap. I sit down there and I cleaned that and got a part of a sack out of my pack sack and a rolled old sack and cleaned it thoroughly. Then I threw the shell in and fired it. I know it's all right. Started out across country. Took a big moose trail. Traveled that trail and I come to a river, big river. And that river was in flood. Well, I wouldn't cross it, and it was bigger than the South Nahanna. It just looked to me as big, and so I turned back. Now I think they call that the West Fork of the South Nahanna. Anyway, coming back, and I was tired of fish. Oh, if I get a moose, you know, get a piece of meat, oh. So anyway, in that swamp was the first skinny canic I'd seen in the country there, and I was cutting of that to take up to the camp, an armful of there, and I had the gun down that way, and click, and noise, and looked up, and right going up onto the bench was a big cow moose, and she'd come right down on top of me there, and didn't see me, you know, and turned around. I dropped that and throwed the gun up and fired. Well, I hit her in the hip here, and broke the hip. And she went right over there and fell in some windfalls. And the guy went up and dressed her and skinned out what I wanted. And oh, she was fat and nice too. And so when I come down, here was water bubbling up, pouring up, you know. And so I thinks I'll wash my hands and clean up. When I dipped my hands into that water, it scalded me, old hot water.
You cooked your moose almost, huh?
Yes, it was hot water.
We stopped a minute here to watch a man make a raft and come across the Pelly River. A man and a woman on this raft, and they're really wrestling the oars.